think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Lou Woodard today, two W's. That looks very strange, but that's okay. It makes sense. It's your name. You can also, we're going to solve Tyler's dilemma today. I haven't worked out for him. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. If you missed the first hour, thank God for you. That was a complete freaking disaster of the first order.
Well, it was really the first second.
It was the first. Well, it was the first 5 minutes.
After that, we got better.
It was the first 5 minutes.
I didn't like having to stand behind you. That was really
Yeah, that was very strange having to stand here. And, I pretty much almost went full De Niro as Capone with a baseball bat on everybody in here. But we're good.
I'm really curious as to how much of that botched intro was actually going over the air versus how much our mics were down.
Judging from the tweets and texts, pretty much all of it.
So all of that conversation was like, hey, we're live now. Are we live? Okay, when's the intro going to fire? Was that whole thing going down in real time?
Yep. No. We couldn't hear you on air.
Okay.
But once the intro actually played after that, basically, like the sound bed for your monologue, we couldn't hear you at all.
Oh, okay. Good. That's good because I was real close to saying what the F is going on here, and that would not have been good. So
I think it would have been more entertaining if we had the full outtakes of us trying to get on the air for the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, we're both standing here going, why are we standing here? Why are you standing behind me? Why can we not have our computers set up?
Well, there are like 8 headsets there, and a couple of them didn't work. Like,
we're trying to, but anyway, hey, though, you know what? It's all cool. We're out here at Revelry on Richmond. Come on out. If you want Skeeter's tickets, just come up and tell us, hey, I want Skeeter's tickets. I want tonight's game or tomorrow night's game. We got them right here. I even see the little Skeeter logo, which is pretty cool. And come out for the soccer game tonight because this is a big one. This is a very big one. And that's why there will be no Soccer Matters tonight. It'll be on Friday. I have to apologize to Lewis because I did not realize I wasn't following him on Twitter until now.
I've been following you since day one, Fred.
I try to follow everybody that I work with that follows me, but
that one got past you.
Yeah, that one did get past me. All right, you brought this story up, and J-Mark just tweeted it to us, and I think we have to do this story. And we're talking about things you're an expert on.
Not an expert on this.
You brought the story up, so I'm sure you've explored it. So tell the people what it's about, and we'll go from there.
I'm going to have to just do this purely based on memory of what I read before the show, Fred. Not actual working memory, but memory of what I read, because it's now behind the Kansas City Star's paywall. But it's this woman in Atlanta who believes in adult breastfeeding relationships. Apparently it's an acronym, ABR. And she was single at the time, Fred, and she came across ABR on the internet, and she said, I need to find someone who will do this with me. She went through online dating sites, and somehow there was no dude that was a taker for that, the whole ABR thing. And then she reached out to an ex-boyfriend, and apparently that really did it for him. He said, you know, whatever it was that we broke up in the past, if this whole breastfeeding thing is going down, then I'm back in the picture. And what they had to do, because she hadn't been pregnant since she was 16, she's in her 30s now. She hadn't been pregnant in, you know, half of her life. What they have to do is they have to pump her every 2 hours.
We just dropped. All right, hold on. Okay, now we're back. So we dropped and then we didn't drop. But okay, sorry, continue. You were doing great.
It was like this guy's sleep schedule. He has to wake up every 2 hours to breastfeed because since she hasn't had a kid in like 15 years, she can't generate the breast milk naturally. He has to feed on her every 2 hours for it to work.
All right, there's so much wrong with this story. First off, if you've seen the picture of her, I ain't breastfeeding on that thing. Are you kidding me?
Well, we're not seeing the meal there, let's be honest.
Well, let's just say she looks more manly than he does.
Okay, that's fair.
In my opinion. So
right, but we're not actually
But I'm not here to judge.
We're not actually seeing the entree.
Well, and I don't want to see the entree. Honestly, why do I want breast milk? I'm a 51-year-old man. Why would I want anybody's breast milk?
First of all, I don't want any,
I didn't want that breast milk when I was an infant, I'm pretty sure. I wanted it out of the damn can. I didn't want to be anywhere near that. So why would I want it now? And these two, okay, this is.
You think you can blame that on Game of Thrones for the Robert Aaron scene in season one?
Oh, I felt that way before I saw that.
Yeah.
But that was a delightfully disgusting scene.
Yeah.
That's why I like that show, because you have scenes like that where you just go, okay, that makes me want to hurl. Because it did. But I have no interest in that. Why did you bring this up? Is this something you want to do with your girlfriend?
It's not, Fred. I just, you know what, the
first
time.
Well, fiancé, right? You guys are.
No, we're not engaged.
You're not engaged yet?
We did just get a dog, though, so that's like a step up.
Yeah, close enough.
We're living together. See, she goes to school in a different country, and she's away from me for like 9 months a year, so it's kind of hard to plan an engagement, a wedding, all that stuff. So we might have to be on hold until she graduates from veterinary school.
9 months, huh? That's an interesting time frame,
especially
talking about breastfeeding.
Well, there are no plans in that department. Taking care of a three-month-old puppy makes me think that I do not want a child anytime soon.
You probably don't want a wife anytime soon either if you're struggling with a puppy. Hey, just want to tell you a few things about Jordan. Jordan sent me this email, totally misspelled my name. I don't know how I got the email. I honestly, how long have you worked at the station? How many times have you heard the show? How many times do I spell my name out at the top of the show? Just for, because I know it's a confusing name. You put that many vowels together, yes, it's confusing. F-A-O-U-R. Very simple. Anyhow, I did get the email, so I shouldn't complain. But to let you know that come out here on Reverie on Richmond for their great happy hour specials. 40-plus craft beers on tap. And by the way, they've also got some great bottle stuff. I got the St. Arnold's Bishop's Barrel 13, which Jordan's going to have to buy me another one because he messed this up. Delicious lunch menu. And it's all your home for the Copa American Action 2. Make sure you stop by after the broadcast for USA versus Costa Rica at 7. This is a big one, by the way, for the U.S. because they look like garbage the other night. Costa Rica does not suck. Are you a big soccer guy?
I'm not. I'm leaving you all alone on an island for international soccer and for any hockey talk today. I have legitimate sports opinions outside of Game of Thrones. They just don't happen to fall under soccer and hockey.
Okay.
I'm Southern, right? Like, I like football.
You're
basketball.
Like Southern. You're from one of those states that was definitely wearing the gray.
North Carolina. I mean, so is Texas.
Nah, barely. We kind of dipped our toe in it. It's a different thing. But, yeah, you guys were, you know, you've got schools still named after Confederate generals and stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, Tar Heel, actually, North Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel fan. That was a nod to Confederate soldiers. Robert E. Lee said, God bless those tar-heeled North Carolinians that didn't retreat. Like, they had actual tar on their heels. But, that's not why I like the school. I like the school because they're awesome at basketball.
So what you're saying is that wasn't the Civil War. That was a war between the states.
No, I'm not going that far. Look, I am a history nerd, but I grew up, like, the very first basketball team that I loved, Stackhouse and Wallace. That was such a cool North Carolina team to watch. Like, that's my sports background, Fred. That's my wheelhouse.
So basically college basketball.
College basketball, college football. I love the NBA. You just rode off the finals after, like, 2 minutes of finals talk. And now
you can run with it.
Now
I'll sit here and listen.
Okay. Well, how about this for an analogy? What we did in the first 2 minutes of the show, that was the Cavaliers' defense, right? Everyone is trying out new roles. They're trying to figure out what they can switch, right? Philpott shouldn't be here. He should be doing something else. Tyler should be here. Jonk should be in his role. It was a hodgepodge of terrible rotations, which is what you can watch if you watch the Cavaliers try to guard the Warriors. And there was no, you know, people weren't dunking on us because they weren't in here. But, you know, if there were people here at the time, we would have been really embarrassed.
Oh, we were already. Well, people were here. People were listening. They got to hear it. You don't get to hide from that. And actually, Tyler has done a pretty good job filling in for Jong. That's not an easy thing to do. I don't think people appreciate just how good Jong really is at his job. And, you know, David's still learning this end of it. So he'll get there.
Look, I wasn't assigning blame.
I'm telling you whose fault it is.
I was creating a metaphor and bringing it back to the NBA to show that I have actual sports opinions.
Okay, so
it's just
please don't tell me that you're just basketball and baseball guy, though, because that those are probably the two sports that move the meter the least. I mean, all right, college football, great.
Look, I can talk NFL with you. What do you want to talk about, Fred? What do we have on the docket today? Osweiler not going to the White House and having rave reviews from his OTAs?
Like, of course he's going to have rave reviews from his OTAs.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out a place here besides Game of Thrones where I can really have a good conversation with you. I love the media talk, but like I said, I mean, that's kind of your thing.
Well, I'm trying to find something you can run off with like that,
yeah.
Just like I did, just so, because I want you to get a good rating.
Sure.
In the power rankings.
I appreciate that.
And
you're trying to put me in a position to be successful, and we're just trying to figure it out.
Because the people don't know this yet, but I'm going to take those power rankings, and in the future when Jong says, hey, who do you want to fill in?
We're crowdsourcing.
I'm going to give them the list in that order.
Okay.
So, no pressure. I'm just saying. Yeah, you get a few points because you've handled this well. And you've handled some adversity well. All right, so we'll find something that you can run with when we come back. As long as it's not college basketball this time of year. Nobody cares. Radios will be turned off all over the city. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. In my cubicle, where I hide out from my boss. In my cubicle, where I get lost in my thoughts.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Revelry on Richmond. Come out and check it out if you're just getting off work. Terrific place. We got some Skeeters tickets to give away for tonight and tomorrow. And they will have the soccer game on tonight. Going to be a great crowd for that, so you want to get out here early, get set up. 40 craft beers on tap, plus a lot of bottle selections that are really good. Including, for those of you who are friends of the St. Arnold series, they've got the 12 and the 13 in there for sure. I like the 13 quite a bit. And Lewis Woodard filling in for A.J. Hoffman. David, could you turn me up just a little bit in my head? Lewis?
Yeah.
You got to have an opinion on Baylor, right? That's what Lamont says.
Well, Lamont is correct. I think that... I don't understand, Fred, why the entire staff is still in place. Like, Briles is going to get dismissed, whatever the terminology they used, suspended, because maybe that's in his contract before he's officially fired. But why would you keep all of the assistant coaches in place when clearly they had knowledge of what was going on and were part of this, right? And there was this new story that broke today. It's on Yahoo Sports. You guys can read it. Woman says she was assaulted by ex-Baylor RB, coaches knew. And she flat out says that the running backs coach at Baylor knew, that she had reported to him. His name is Jeff Lebby, right? So this guy is still on staff, and he had knowledge that his running back beat her up. They did nothing about it.
Well, that's also Briles' son-in-law, if I'm not mistaken. He's married to Briles' daughter.
Okay, but so, Briles anyway. Well, that would make sense as to why he's on the staff, but that wouldn't make sense as to why Baylor would protect all of his assistants, right? Why are you going to bring in Jim Grobe and keeping the entire staff of nine dudes? Clearly, several of them were not deserving of keeping that job. And, look, you mentioned sending a bunch of people down there to investigate back in the day. I mean, you just have to send someone across the hall. This girl put her name on it. She's on ESPN Deportes.
Hmm. So can we get her on? Tyler, can you walk across the get somebody to walk across the hallway and see if she'll come on the air with us?
I can see what I can do. Aaron, actually, or... one of our former coworkers texted me that she was interviewed by Jeremy Schapp, but I don't know if I can actually get her or not.
Oh, we're bigger than Jeremy Schapp. Come on. We're a lot more fun. But just have somebody go over there and see if she'll come on for a few minutes. I'd be curious. It doesn't hurt to ask, right? What's she going to do?
I feel like if I leave this board, though, it might not.
No, you don't
downhill.
Leave the board.
Yeah, that's what
you,
I'm
no,
saying.
No, you don't go anywhere, okay? I'm sure there's an intern sitting outside not answering phone calls that you could easily get to go over there and find her. Make it part of their deal. So, but no, it's like I always tell you guys, the beautiful woman at the bar, you always go up and ask her, what's she going to do? If she says no, so what? What have you lost? Nothing. You weren't going to get it anyway. You ask enough of them, guess what's going to happen? Boom.
You're going to accidentally get one.
Accidentally, however you want to define it, you're going to outkick your coverage because sooner or later somebody's going to say yes. Maybe they're drunk. Maybe, you know, you charm them a little bit with your BS or your knowledge of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
You got to take shots downfield.
Exactly.
I've always believed that, Fred.
Exactly. Santos just tweeted out a meme with the little chick from House Mormont. If she had three dragons, the show would have ended two seasons ago. Yeah, I agree with that. That the whole thing would have been over.
That might have been the best part of last episode, but we're not doing that until 6.
We'll do that at 6, and we'll give you guys we will give you a chance to we'll give you plenty of warning, but it might go for more than a segment. I think I kind of want to expand it a little bit this week. Although I feel bad that it's not after a really epic episode. It was another one that I just wasn't that fond of, but we'll talk about that at 6 o'clock. Josh says, maybe I'm biased since I was born and raised in Charlotte, but Lou's been the best sub so far. Hashtag
Boom.
Go Heels. See, there you go. I think you will win over a lot of people at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
When they see how dorky you really are about this. And I admit to being a complete nerd when it comes to Game of Thrones. I am not in your league.
I was really excited to have dinner with you, actually, at the Melting Pot a couple of nights ago, and you were not up on all of the fan theories that I was up on. I mean, there were a few in there that we had common ground on, but you just weren't getting as excited as I was hoping you were.
Well, okay, I'm a nerd about it, but I also think fan theories in general are kind of stupid. It's fun to speculate on some things, but some of this stuff that people have carried out to the 10th degree as a fan theory is just dumb. I mean, it's get a life type stuff. And I mean, I'm okay with some of it.
Yeah. I mean, you always have to think, what is the plot going to gain by this theory happening? Right. Like, why would Martin do this is the way you have to think about it.
Yeah. Although somebody mentioned this earlier when we were talking about Deadpool stuff. George R. R. Martin should be in your Deadpool. That guy is not going to live to finish the series.
No, but he's not working at all. What's he stressed about? He's got millions of dollars, Fred.
Well, yeah, and he doesn't need to write any more books. He can just let the TV show tell us what happens. But he's going to die. But look how fat he is at the age he is.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like he doesn't look unhealthy for being that fat of a dude.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he doesn't look like he's got a drug problem. He doesn't look like he's going to have some kind of vice that's going to do him in. Like, if you look at Johnny Manziel in the face right now, you're like, man, how many years does this dude have left?
George R. R. Martin is, of course, he has vices. You don't have that kind of money.
He's got a really messed up mind. He might be into ABR, actually.
Well, yeah, he's probably breastfeeding, but it's not his wife because she's as old as he is. So he's probably got some 28-year-old that he comes in to breastfeed off of.
And that was the inspiration for Robert Aaron.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now that's what he's doing. He's breastfeeding. It's messed with his mind. He doesn't know where – that's why he can't finish the damn book. Although I have to say I'm the last one to criticize somebody for not finishing their damn book. But, yeah, I would also say – and I'd be curious, and I don't want to get into the episodes, just a general Game of Thrones question. Are you less interested – in the next book?
No.
Because
you already know
what's happened?
No. It's not spoiled it for me in a really weird way, Fred. Because, like, Stannis, still alive. I think he's about to kick Ramsay's ass in the books. That, to me, will still be thrilling to read, even though I know he's not going to be the king in the end. Like, it sets up this weird parallel where it's like, I don't know, the extended edition kind of cut. Where I'm still very much interested. I like Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I'm a dork. But I still watch the extended cut. I get some bonus footage in there. That's the way I'm viewing it.
Okay. Yeah, Stannis is still alive in the books. He's clearly not in the show. So why does that storyline mean anything to me now?
Because he's going to go down in a way cooler way. That was what they did to him in the show was embarrassing. Like, that's something that makes me upset about the show. Like, dude was the best military tactician in the books. He's not going to get surrounded in the field and just run in like that.
Well,
we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
But honestly,
that's why I'm still excited about reading.
See, I'm not, because, frankly, I have to say, everything they've done on the show has been better than what he did in the books.
Not Dorne. Dorne has not even been close.
Dorne sucked in the books, too.
It did, but it sucked way worse in TV.
Yeah, but you know what? We're talking about two parts of the story that suck anyway.
Okay.
But I think they got rid of characters that didn't matter in the show. It's moved faster. It eliminated a lot of the BS. I definitely think that it's the show itself is 80% better than the books.
I'm not going to go that high, but what I will say that I like is that Martin can't write a chapter right now without telling you what everybody ate and what every blade of grass looked like, and that's one of the reasons why it's moving so slowly. The show is just moving at a crazy pace, like killing Roose Bolton and Daron Martell, all these key players, like the first two or three episodes. That was like – it was a different experience seeing it happen that quickly.
But I think that's better. I mean, that's what TV is. And listen, don't get me wrong. I'm still about reading, and I love the books, but there are just so many, much of them that I considered a waste of my time. And there were storylines that went off in ridiculous directions that were a waste of time. And that's what the TV show has gotten rid of. There's still things that are a waste. I still think the whole Arya storyline, no matter how it turns out, has been a waste of my life. But you know, we'll get to that later.
Sure.
So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, we'll try some phone calls maybe. Hopefully we're going to have Jerome Solomon next, though, to talk a little bit about Muhammad Ali. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Revelry on Richmond. Starting to happen. If you're just getting off work, come on out here. We've got Skeeters tickets to give you. You got a chance to watch some soccer tonight. And go visit the promo crew over there. They've got all kinds of free stuff for you. Lewis Woodard filling in for A.J. Hoffman, but no one fills in for Jerome Solomon when he shows up on Tuesdays. So joining us now, as he does every Tuesday, our good friend Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? So you're doing another road trip, but you didn't invite me out this time. I guess I ruined your last trip?
No, the last trip was pretty awesome. I think we had too much fun. That was the problem. Since we all kind of had to stagger out of there when it was over. So,
you can't do them back to back.
Yeah. No, I'm too old for that, man. I can't be doing another all-night drinking thing after I just did it Friday night and then probably last night. But anyway, Jerome, I know you. We had talked about the Muhammad Ali thing on Friday and what you were writing, and it was fascinating stuff. And the news came down later that he had passed. I know you've been studying him quite a bit. Talk a little bit about Muhammad Ali and from your perspective, from some of the things you wrote and what, when it finally did happen, how that impacted you.
Yeah, I mean, it was fairly interesting. I mean, obviously he's a person who, I looked up to and admired and had on such a pedestal. I wasn't surprised, but it still kind of hit me at how many other people had lifted him to those heights, because I distinctly remember that wasn't the case way back in the day. So it's a little tricky in that, he gained so much more reverence when he was silent and unable to communicate than he had when he was able to talk and say what he wanted to say. And so you probably saw some people, Chris Myers, for example, who's an excellent broadcaster, who said when he saw Muhammad Ali, he didn't see color. He didn't see race. And I was like, I didn't know Chris Myers was blind, and dumb and deaf, because there's no way you can think of Muhammad Ali and not think race and color and blackness, because he was very proud of being black and let you know it. And that's what stood out for a guy like me. I mean, I grew up in an era where, families, my parents and everybody would call each other and say, there's a black man on TV right now. And most of them were quiet and they had nothing to say. And athletes, black or white, really didn't have a whole heck of a lot to say. But Ali, he was in a room with nothing but white people, because that's what the media was at that time, and dominated the room, grabbed a microphone, told them what he wanted to say, and people like me who go around telling people what we want to say are following in his footsteps.
Jerome, is there an athlete in recent years, like a star athlete, and obviously no one's going to be Ali, but is there one that's taken a stand on a social issue and you've been impressed by? Because when I've been trying to think about who is most Ali-like today, I have trouble even thinking about who's in the conversation.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's unfair to these guys today, because the social issues are a lot different, So it's unfair to label them as not being an Ali, because, and just say, well, they're not as courageous as he is. as he was, but they can't be as courageous as he was, because I don't care what stance you take today, generally speaking, your life is not going to be on the line. Ali was getting death threats daily, regularly, nonstop. So it was a different world for those guys. But these guys are really overly concerned with image and brand, and they're trying to sell shoes. They're trying to maximize their money. LeBron James does a pretty solid job. I'll give him a lot of credit of stepping out and speaking out when he wants to. But it's just a different world. So it's unfair to dog those guys, because they live in a different world. One of the reasons they live in a different world is the Jim Browns and the Muhammad Ali's broke those molds, shut that down, put some people in their place, media, owners, et cetera, and it allowed these guys to be able to do what they do. So I don't dog them as much as other people do, but no, there's no Ali out there.
Jerome, I'll ask you this, because both of us are old enough to have seen Ali fight as children when we were young. I mean, let me just clarify that. But when we opened the show, I said my favorite moment was him at the Atlanta Olympics when he brought out the torch. What was your favorite Ali moment that you remember?
You talk about old enough to watch him fight. You're a lot older than I am, so that's a little different.
Stop that.
But I'm old enough to remember listening to his fights on the radio. So they weren't on TV. And then there were times where he'd have a fight that would be on regular, ordinary television. And that was a little before my time. I was too young to remember those fights. But they were on closed-circuit TV in town, but they were on the radio. So you had to use nothing but your imagination to hear what he was doing in the ring from the person announcing it. And you had to use your imagination based on the clips you've seen from other fights, the clips you saw him playing around when he's doing an interview and, you know, doing the Ali shuffle with Howard Cosell, et cetera, and just imagine the fight. I remember distinctly listening to the fight against George Foreman and Zaire and almost being in tears. I wasn't rooting against George Foreman, the local guy, but I was so rooting for Ali and so wanting him not to die in the ring. And he didn't die. He brought it. And that was that memory will and I didn't see it at the time. I have it on tape now and I've watched it many times since.
Jerome, I asked you about the Ali perspective of taking a stand on a social issue, of having courage, but the other side of Ali is it seems like everybody that met him said that he had just an unreal charisma, an unreal energy about him. Is there an athlete that you've covered that you've been around and you just thought, like, man, this dude has a presence?
Now, that one, most of them do. I mean, these guys carry they carry an aura about them, and I know it's real because I don't revere them like I did those athletes. You know, like, I mean, if I'd been around Ali and Earl Campbell and, you know, Bill Russell or whomever back in the early 70s, I would have freaked out. Now I'm around guys and they don't impress me, but I can feel their presence, you know. I mean, Tom Brady walks around and he knows it doesn't stink. You know what I mean? He has that power. Michael Jordan literally walks like he just busts a jump in your face at all times. You know, where he's wearing a suit or whatever, he walks like, I just beat you playing the game, and there's no game being played. And that he might be at the height of the height. But, I mean, I covered the Olympics forever. Usain Bolt walks into a nightclub, and he walks from one side of the room to the other, and you watch him walk step, step, step all the way across the room because he's just – there's a light, you know. It's weird and it's crazy. It's not – any kind of, like, you know, you're treating him like a god. But if you don't admire that, you don't love sports.
Bolt's a weird one. I got a chance to see him live at Penn Relays in 2010. I was competing. I was a college track runner, and I got to stick around and watch Bolt on the 4x1, and he filled a football stadium. I mean, I've never seen fans come out for track before. And there were a good 50,000 people there to see Bolt run for 9 seconds. It was something else being there and seeing that. But that's an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, and I was there when he broke the world record, you know, in Beijing and in London. And, you know, I'm a few feet away from him when he runs, you know, crosses the finish line. And he points at me in Beijing. And it was just that's a moment I can never forget because I felt like I was a part of the action at that time. And you saw somebody do something that nobody ever done. You saw the best ever at something. And I think for most of us, that's why we watch sports. We want to see people at their height and at their lowest low. And, you know, it's spectacular because they're on a stage.
You know, what's funny is you were on the phone with us from Beijing while we were doing the Sunday morning show, and it was Matt and I when that happened. And I remember how excited you were, and it just basically screaming. He just pointed at me. How awesome is this? And no. I mean, you were legitimately excited about that.
Oh yeah, there's no cheering on press row, but at the Olympics that doesn't count. You know, but this one was special because the Jamaican team colors are like green and gold and are yellowish, and I was wearing a bright yellow shirt. I'm the only black guy at the finish line, and I know he just assumed, oh, that's a Jamaican right there, and he's like pointing at a brother while he's crossing, and I was standing up like a moron. But I do that all the time. If you had a video of me at the Northern Iowa, the guy hit the jumper from midcourt to beat Texas in the NCAA tournament this year, I was standing up like a fool, like I went to Northern Iowa or something, because it was that spectacular. I'd never seen that before, and I don't think I'll ever lose that joy of watching, you know, sporting events, and, you know, people around me are like, oh, it's another game. I'm like,
whoops. Did we just lose Jerome?
And the reason I brought that up, Fred, is it just seems like no one could ever be Ali. It's just interesting to see how many different things he meant to different people, whether it was, you know, the unreal athleticism he had for a heavyweight, the social stances, the charisma, the trash talking. I mean, just what an individual.
Well, and one thing to his point, though, and that was Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle, and that's usually not how we end the interview, but that's okay. Always love having him on. But the guys he was talking about that had that kind of influence were guys we grew up with before we were in the business. And Jerome's older than me, don't let him fool you. And the thing about that is I think it's easy to revere those guys. And now, because it's our job, I don't look at athletes that way. And I haven't ever since I got into journalism. I was always, you know, these are people you cover. I've been friends with some of them. But for the most part, I've always kind of kept them at arm's length. And I haven't been... people always ask, oh, is there an athlete that you get excited about interviewing? And I have to say, as far as, you know, getting excited about whether or not I'm going to have a good interview, but somebody that I want to take pictures with or something like that, I don't know that there's an athlete in the world that I feel that way about. Now, there's actors and musicians. That kind of stuff I get excited about in terms of, you know, being starstruck. But
do you not have a team that athletes. You geeked out about? Like, I can be media guy all day long, but the best that I can do if Cam Newton throws a touchdown is to just inwardly cheer and not, like, actually show in the press box. That still gets me excited.
See, that's
even
why I don't sit in the press box for teams that I care about. I go sit in the stands. If I go to a Texans game, I sit in the stands. I go to a lot of UH football games. Yes, I'm very into that. But none of those guys – I don't hero worship any of those guys. I don't have any – there's not one of them where I say, oh, man, I want to take a picture with this guy in any case. I mean, I enjoy it. I separate what they do from real life. I mean, to me, it's entertainment, it's excitement, it's competition. That's great. I enjoy it for that. But I don't look at them like, oh, my God, I have to have a picture with this guy.
So you think if you were working in the media in 1970, Ali walked into a room, you would not have – you don't think that he would have had that same effect that everybody says he had?
No, I don't think so. Because I don't look at fair or unfair. I don't look at athletes as people I look up to. I look at them as people I cover, and I have to keep them at arm's length. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't have. All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And I know you've heard me talk about them before, but let me tell you a little bit about what they do. This is a school that takes in kids who have dropped out of other schools, at-risk kids, kids who have, you know, for whatever reason, had to drop out. Some of them had to get jobs to support their family. Some of them were bullied. Some of them just there's all kinds of situations that happen. Well, Houston Can Academy takes these kids in. They give them a second chance. They work around whatever that problem is, including if, you know, they had to get a job. Well, guess what? They're going to work around their schedule. Maybe the kid couldn't afford to even get to school. Well, they get bus passes for them. They'll take care of them. That's what they do, and they give them a second chance, and so many of them graduate. So many of them go on and do great things and help change our society, and it's all because of Houston Can Academies. And the reason they can do that is because of your donation. And, guys, I got to say, the Blitzers have been really stepping up with this, but they need your donation so that they can help these kids, and your donation is a vehicle you're not using anymore. It's that simple. Doesn't matter what shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it's even running. You know, with all these floods, you might have had a vehicle that flooded out that you were going to try to fix, and now you don't know what to do with it. Well, give them a call. They're going to come tow it free of charge. They're going to take care of all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible. And how about this? If you call and tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to get Astros tickets. Just their way of saying thank you. All for getting rid of something you're not going to use anymore. You're going to help Houston Can Academies help kids go on to do great things just by making a phone call. The number is 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Revelry on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J., Lewis Woodard filling in today. Texas' biggest rock festival is September 24th and 25th at NRG Park, featuring Avenged Sevenfold, Alice in Chains, Deftones, Slayer, Chevelle, and more. Plus, enjoy food from Gourmet Man Food and Jack Daniel's Whiskey Row. And did I mention more, and so much more? I just did. Get your info and tickets at HoustonOpenAir.com. I saw Alice in Chains open for Guns N' Roses in Vegas, and that guy filling in at lead singer was terrific. He sounded just like him. So, you're right over there. You look like you just got some bad news, man.
Yeah, I'm just confused. Like, so I went to the dermatologist a couple of weeks ago, and I had just gotten back from Grenada, which in the Caribbean, so I came back with a little bit of a sunburn. I got
Zika
yelled at.
Zika, right?
I got yelled at, right?
Okay.
So you go in, how dare you go into the dermatologist and have a sunburn? And so they told me, you know, how old are you? 28. Okay, have you ever had your moles checked before? You got a lot of moles. No. So they scheduled me for like 2 weeks ago, and they pulled like a chunk out of my back. It looks like a quarter is missing on my back. And they just called me back. Like, first of all, I hope you respected my cat-like reflexes when the phone started to ring.
That was a rookie mistake to have it not on vibrate, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Considering it was a doctor calling you, it's all right.
Right, but it's like, okay, catcher allows the ball to pass, but then he throws the guy trying to take the extra base. I thought the reflex saved the situation. But anyways, I listened to the voicemail, and they called it a moderate something-something word that I've never heard before. And now I'm just really confused. My dad's a doctor, so I shared the voicemail on the iPhone. I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
But so hopefully he'll text me back and tell me.
Accidentally share one of those with your girlfriend, though. That's a totally different thing.
Well, Fred, I've got nothing to hide.
Okay. As long as you don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
Hang around us long enough, you'll have plenty to hide. Yeah. But, well, as long as it didn't have, like, an OMA at the end of it, you're probably okay.
Yeah, they said it makes sure pigmentation doesn't return to the area. Okay, my dad texts me, nothing to worry about, we'll talk later at a restaurant. So, okay, if it's not so important that he's going to get up from the meal that he's eating, I'm good to go. I feel way better right now.
Yeah, well, of course, he could just be like, well, I'm finishing my meal, then it's, okay, by the way, son, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that sounds good that he's at least not worried. 832 asking, what if you meet Doyle Brunson? Same thing as any poker player. I just want his chips, man. I've played with Doyle Brunson. That doesn't impress me. The only people that I'm ever starstruck by are like actors and certain rock stars.
But by your theory, if you wrote for Rolling Stone and you covered those musicians, would you be impressed by them or would you not? And then by that virtue, would you be impressed by athletes?
Some yes, some no. But I, honestly, no. If I probably did it all the time and talked to them all the time, I wouldn't be that impressed. I have found, and I guess the thing is, most athletes just aren't that interesting as people. You know that. You've been around them enough. They're very one-dimensional. They're focused on being great at what they do. And I've heard 1,000 people talk about being great at what they do. And that's awesome, but that's not interesting to me. You know, people are interesting because of their views and the things they do. And I think I would have more fun talking to a stranger in a bar who has an interesting life than interviewing Warren Moon.
Because the microphone's on. Warren Moon can say something, and people can get upset at him. If you were having a drink with Warren Moon,
you know what? I have had a drink with Warren Moon, and I'll say the same thing. I mean, no disrespect to Warren, and I don't mean to use him as an example. I think any athlete, we'll throw Brock Osweiler in there since he's new.
I would love to know what actually is going through his mind. He seems to be the best at coach speak that there is right now. You know that part of him not going to the White House was not wanting to go to the White House and jab Elway a little bit, right?
Maybe, but you know what? This is one of those things I can't get upset either way, and I can't dog the guy either way. If he had said, you know what, no, I really want to go to the White House and miss OTAs, then Texans fans going to be like, oh, you're just learning the offense. You can't miss OTAs.
Sure.
And if he does what he does, people are like, oh, you're jabbing Elway. To me, there was no right answer for him in this. And, you know, he did, and I think he explained it fairly, has nothing to do with anything. I want to be here to learn this offense and be a leader and do all the right things. And if I'm trying to impress a new coach and a new boss, that's what I'm doing. So I'm not going to fault him for that decision, just like I wouldn't have faulted him if he'd gone to the White House. But I think he was going to get criticism either way.
Sure.
And it's just one of those unfortunate situations where a guy is put in there, and one way or the other, he's going to piss somebody off.
Right. I'm not saying he did the wrong thing. I'm just saying if you were having a drink with him, you would get a more interesting answer than every rep counts.
I'm sure I would, but...
But if you were interviewing him, that's what he would tell you, every rep counts.
But I've also had enough drinks with athletes over the years to realize that most of them just aren't that interesting. You know, the exceptions are the guys who wind up working in our business. Like Sean Salisbury is great. I love hanging out with Sean. He's a much more interesting person than just an athlete, though. And I think that's a pretty small percentage of guys and girls that actually go out and do this. There's not more depth to them. And it's usually the ones that are the best, they have no other life. It really is about football. And so Joe Montana is an example I always give. Joe Montana was a genius on the football field. He knows nothing about anything else in the world. You could talk to him about a play or something, and he'll reel it off, and it's brilliant. You ask him about anything else, even tying his shoes. I mean, he was a genius on the football field, dumber than a barrel of hair off of it, which is why he didn't make a very good analyst. And I think the truly great ones, most of them, that's exactly what they are, because they have a singular focus in what they do. All right, I know I'm going long here, but we got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. That means music, Tyler. Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
Gym of the Day.
Sorry.
It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Okay, so I caught you off guard there. Is that what you're saying, Tyler? You weren't ready for that?
Yeah, I was actually about to push to a break.
I know you're about to push to a break. As I looked down and saw that we're almost on a break, I said, oh, I've got to get the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day in because we're supposed to do it in the 5:45 segment. So, you know what? No, I'm not taking the blame for that either. All of this,
this
started
my fault.
At the,
this was my fault.
This all started at the beginning of the show, which was you and Philpott. So anything that happens after that is totally on you guys. I'm sorry. Even if I drop an F-bomb, that's on you guys because you got me upset. All right, so we'll make this quick. You've heard of cat burglars. Well, I have a thief of a different kind for you. He stole $144 from a jewelry store last month. And basically broke in, started taking the money. You'd think, okay, got to be a human being, right? Nope, it was a monkey in Guntur, India. The monkey breaks into a store, steals $144. They did see him. They tried to bribe him with a banana, which, okay, that would make sense, except obviously this was a smart monkey who figured out $144 is worth a hell of a lot more than a banana. And he did attack an employee and sat inside the store for 20 minutes before opening a cash drawer and taking the money. And, yeah, basically escaped. There are no reports yet as if he'd been caught. So a monkey attacked an employee and made out with over $140 from a jewelry store in India. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Now you can throw us to break, Tyler. There you go. Well done. All right. One more hour to go. And, okay, this is it. This is why we brought Lewis here today.
Oh, wow.
To blow you guys away, to show just how smart he is when it comes to Game of Thrones. Next segment, and probably the segment after that, we're just going to go ahead and run with it a little bit. So if you're not caught up and you're one of those people who's hasn't watched Sunday nights yet, it's not just going to be about Sunday night, but you probably want to find something else to do for 30 minutes. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.